Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Three and Out podcast, where we, just like Le'Veon Bell, decided to straight up not show up for the first couple weeks. This is our first episode. We have the normal crew here. I'm Kyle Reams. I'm here with Jadiv Pant.
What's up, guys?
Matthew Lee.
Hi, guys.
And Alex Amster.
How's it going?
We talk about fantasy football, college football, and the NFL here, along with bringing on a couple guests every now and then. Today, we are welcoming The Athletic's Dan Duggan.
Hi, Dan. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks.
Dan works for The Athletic, a subscription-based sports website focusing on teams themselves. There, he is a beat writer for the New York Giants, so he obviously knows quite a bit about the team.
Well, we appreciate you for coming on, and let's just get right into it.
Sounds good.
All right. So we're just going to start with a few questions about yourself. When did you start working on the beat?
2016, I started training camp. That was my first season on the beat.
All right. And just specifically, what do you like best about covering the Giants?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, listen, you're getting paid to cover and to write and watch football at the end of the day, so you kind of can't beat that.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's a neat job. I never really found myself someone who wanted to be sitting at an office, 9 to 5 every day, and always wanted to be involved in sports. And, this was kind of obviously something that allowed me to do that. And even have days like today where you got Lil Wayne talking about Eli Manning and just kind of the ridiculousness of that. But it's, you know, it's always different. You know, it's not like there's not sitting in a cube crunching numbers. I mean, there's always something going on. You have a lot of freedom to kind of, you know, go about making your schedule and what you do on a day-to-day basis. Just kind of all that appeals to me. And Giants is one of the, you know, kind of premier beats in the NFL. So it's a pretty fun job to have.
All right. So we're just going to talk about Eli Manning. You know, he had an up and down week last week. You know, he threw some bad interceptions, but he also had some great fourth quarter throws. What are your thoughts as far as the future with him on the Giants?
I guess it depends how long you're talking about when you talk future. I mean, obviously he's the guy for the rest of this year, unless things really go down the tank. I mean, I guess they have to give Oletta a look if, you know, you're looking at, you know, similar situation to last season. But as far as long-term future, I think it has to be year-to-year with him, you know, at most. And again, if this season doesn't turn around fast, I don't really see how you can come back with him next year. I mean, this year, kind of everything they did was in the belief that Eli could win, and they made moves and help the team right now. So if the team loses again, I just think it would be a hard sell to say we're going to run it back with Eli one more time. He's one more year older, and again, if they have a bad record, presumably he hasn't, you know, turned it on and started playing great. So definitely a year-to-year situation, and I think really for this to extend beyond the 2018 season, they really need to turn things around. He needs to, you know, pick it up a little bit, and we need to be done with playoffs really to justify bringing him back, I think, at this point.
All right.
How are the Giants looking at Laletta right now? How do they feel about him at the moment?
I mean, he's the number three quarterback, so it's actually very similar to Davis Webb last year, where once you get into the regular season, you know, number three quarterback doesn't do a heck of a lot in practice. I mean, you're on the scout team, so he gets to pretend to be Cam Newton one week and Deshaun Watson the next. I mean, that doesn't really help you get ready to run the New York Giants offense. Seems like a good kid, and I'm sure he's doing everything behind the scenes that you need to do, but there's, you know, there's really no way to reproduce getting those practice reps. So, you know, obviously this Giants team is high on him. They used a fourth-round pick on him when it was a situation where they really didn't need to take a quarterback, especially if they were convinced that Eli had years left. So they saw something. They saw an opportunity to get a guy who can develop. I think it's really hard, especially, you know, all I really have is training camp and a couple of preseason games to judge. To project this guy definitely can take over Eli. I just didn't really see enough to suggest that. I mean, I think he kind of came as advertised. You know, has a pretty good feel for the game, those types of things you heard coming out of college. But the arm strength concerns are very real. I don't know if he can overcome them. I mean, certainly plenty of quarterbacks have. But it definitely stood out, maybe more so in training camp even than in the game in the preseason. But, so I think he's pretty much an unknown at this point. And like I said, if the season really continues to slide, I think that they will not make the same mistake as last year. I think they will get him ready to play, get him into the game, but, you know, it's a long way off.
All right. And last week in the game, we had a lot of bogus calls, a lot of mistakes by the Giants. What was the worst moment last week, whether it was a certain call by the refs or just a play by the Giants, in your opinion?
I mean, I hate blaming the refs. I mean, just in my own experience and just, you know, covering games, I think it's usually kind of a loser's lament. I mean, I will say, obviously, that penalty against Collins was atrocious and really bad to guess. And that one, you know, really did pretty much directly hurt them because they were going to get off the field. There was a third down. Instead, you extend the drive. But I'm still a big believer in, well, you still have a chance to make plays. I mean, it wasn't like they got a touchdown off of that call. So, you know, you still let them go down the field. You still didn't cover Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield on third down. He scored a touchdown. But if you want to talk about, like, the one worst play that sticks out to me, is that 25-yard touchdown to Samuel, I think it was the first quarter, where he just ran through four tackles. And again, I just think that's why I don't love blaming the refs, because that's kind of the easy thing. I'll blame the refs. Well, again, that's another point in the game where, you know, they throw a little, you know, screen out to a wide receiver. You got plenty of guys there to make a play. You know, nobody makes a play, and somehow he's in the end zone. So I always think you can always look back to those types of plays and certainly – point the finger there just as easily as you point at the refs. And that play really just stuck out to me because you know, that missed tackle just kind of crept up as a bigger problem, I feel like, as the season's gone on. Especially Landon Collins, I'm a guy who you associate with missed tackles. He had a few on Sunday, and that play kind of epitomized their struggle up there.
Right, yeah, you can blame the refs all you want, but at the end of the day, you still got to make the plays. There was a lot of drama over the weekend with Odell and just his relationship with the team. How are things standing there now?
I mean, seems good from the surface. You know, obviously a ton happens on behind the scenes that, you know, we don't know about. We may never know about unless it really boils over. But it definitely seems like everything is cool. You know, I think football teams and coaches, they have a pretty strong ability to turn everything and make it enough against them. And, you know, people are talking about that was taken out of context, where, I mean, everyone saw the interview. The context is evident. So I don't think really anything he said was misrepresented. But it doesn't matter what we believe or, you know, even what logic says. If Pat Shurmur can get those 53 guys to believe that, hey, the media's trying to tear us down, and that's all that really matters. And I do give credit to Odell. And that depends, you know, where you hear from. Did Shurmur make him apologize, or did Odell want to just address the team to clear the air? However that came about, I think that was important. Because I think in the past, especially with McAdoo, who was, you know, I cover, I really was here for Coughlin, McAdoo let things snowball because he just tried to ignore him after, like, that's not a problem, that's all just, you know, media stuff. And then it just festered and became bigger issues and bigger issues, where I think at least with Shurmur, this thing got nipped in the bud. Now, I mean, we'll see, you know, how the team goes, because if they start losing, you know, the wheels can come off just as easily. But I think as far as this particular incident, from the Giants' perspective, I think it's pretty much, you know, case closed. But I think it's something that will still spiral around the team if the negativity kind of continues with losing.
All right. And on Twitter today, we saw you say the Giants are the loosest 1-4 team that you've personally ever seen. And we're just wondering if you could clarify that. That looked like a very interesting claim.
Yeah, well, cause I don't know what to make of it because, you know, usually when teams are winning, you know, everybody's, you know, happy-go-lucky and music loud, everyone's having a good time. Not, you know, it's a long week, so not to expect the team to be 1-4 to be walking around like, you know, they just found out their dog died. But it's just, everything was really loose. And it's like talking to guys, if you didn't know the result of Sunday's game, you almost think they won because they're talking so positively and optimistically coming out of the game, which, again, maybe that's a good thing. That's the attitude you want to have because you don't want to have guys, you know, down in the dumps because you got to turn around and play another game 4 days later. But I just found it interesting. I mean, and I think the thing that kind of put it over the top that made me tweet that was, you know, obviously Lil Wayne, which is kind of ridiculous, he's been involved in all this stuff because, you know, he was sitting next to Odell during the interview, and then he had his Instagram stuff where, you know, he's talking about Eli Manning and yada, yada, yada. But we go out to practice, and they always have music playing during stretching, and sure enough, the first three songs are Lil Wayne songs. So that just seems like, you know, they definitely have some fun with it because I don't think that was a coincidence that on a day when Lil Wayne is dominating Giants news, three of his songs could play back to back to back. So, like I said, it's just a very loose atmosphere where 1-4, you could imagine tensions would be running high. Doesn't seem to be the case. So, you know, if they go out and win by 50, we'll say, hey, this team, you know, was having fun and everything was great and they had the right attitude, and they go out and lose, you're going to say, well, you know, they should have been a little more serious. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Right. And, under the new coach, Pat Shurmur, have you noticed how has he done with the roster so far, both from a playing perspective and also like a culture perspective in the change from Ben McAdoo?
I mean, I think the culture is definitely a lot better. I mean, I really think Ben McAdoo was did a really poor job of that, so it wasn't a particularly high bar to clear. And I think, you know, Shermer came in and did a good job of developing a relationship with guys first and foremost. I don't think Mack had really great people skills. And I think he's also taken a few opportunities to kind of lay down the law so people knew who was in charge. You know, Landon Collins kind of popped off with Flowers during the spring. You know, Sherman chastised him for that. Seems like he had a pretty good handle on this Odell situation. Now, there's a couple of things from that, though. Now, you don't want to have to keep correcting. At some point, you want the guys to just get the message and not have to keep, you know, getting, you know, put in line. But that's, you know, that's going to happen. That's life. It's not really about wins and losses, though, because guys will respect the coach, obviously, to a certain extent. But if you're, you know, keep losing games, it gets a lot easier to tune them out. So I think overall, so far, he's doing a good job, but it's, you know, it's really early. And as far as personality, I think you give him credit that at least, you know, I still think it was crazy. They went into the season thinking Eric Flowers was the answer right tackle, but you give him credit for only taking two games to recognize that mistake and pulling the plug there. I mean, you know, some of the moves they might have made at the 53-man roster cut day are a little questionable. I think everyone kind of moved on, but, you know, they had a couple of capable returners, it seemed like, in camp, and now they've just been playing musical chairs with the returners every week, and none of them have done a good job. And, you know, just some of the other moves they made where, you know, Chris Riley, you know, got this free safety job. He hasn't impressed me at all, and you wonder if a guy like Andrew Adams or Daniel Thompson would have been a better option. But again, I mean, that's kind of small stuff, and, you know, every coach is going to make some decisions that, you know, you maybe raise your eyebrow at, but, I mean, nothing egregious that I would say he's done a, you know, poor job with as far as managing the roster.
All right, well, we appreciate you for being on here, Dan, and, yeah, thank you. Dan Duggan from The Athletic, everyone.
Thanks, Dan.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Another big thanks to The Athletic's Dan Duggan for joining us on the show today. And now we present to you our fantasy two-minute drill. We're going to start off with matchups that we like.
Matt Ryan at home in a dome versus Tampa Bay. This is a no-brainer, guys. Sony Michel versus one of the worst defenses is an easy start. T.Y. Hilton will go off against the Jets. He's a must start.
All right, now we go to Bears D at Miami. Bears D is currently averaging 15 points per game, and obviously they have that monster, if you've heard of him, Khalil Mack.
It's hard to find a good pass rusher these days.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. John Gruden is not happy about that one. Now we go to Zach Ertz against the Giants, and the Giants have historically bad
historically defense. Is a bold claim.
Trust me, historically bad defense against tight ends. And then we go to Robert Woods. We see that Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks are both out with concussions. We don't know their status for next week, but we do know Robert Woods is playing, and he's been averaging 19 points per game in PPR formats. And lastly, Steven Doskowski, Patriots kicker. It could be a shootout with the high-scoring Chiefs in town, and I would think he must be a start.
And now for some waiver wire pickups, we have the man is back. Jameis is back against the Falcons defense, which has surrendered 37 points in three straight weeks. If you pick up Jameis, you'll be eating some W's. Then we had a bunch of starting running back injuries. Jay Ajayi is out for the year for the Eagles. Clement and Sproles are banged up. That's a sign to pick up Wendell Smallwood. Lastly, we have Cameron Brate coming back off the bye. He has Jameis back, and O.J. Howard has an injury he is dealing with. He should be a good pickup for you. That was the fantasy two-minute drill, and now we're going to be moving on to college football. We have a big week coming up this week. Jada, if you have anything to say?
So first, we're going to talk about some of the major upsets that happened last week. Let's start off with Oklahoma versus Texas. You know, Texas beat them in the River rivalry, and it's kind of sad for the Big 12 because they won't send a team to the playoff this year. I mean, there's going to be a lot of undefeated teams this year.
All their hopes riding on Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma won't make it, and I think they'll beat West Virginia, so that's just it. Let's talk LSU. You know, they lost to Florida. That was just embarrassing on their part. Florida is a very bad team. I mean, they put up 13 points last week against Mississippi State. This was really bad, in my opinion, for the SEC because their resume is now absolutely terrible. Auburn is not even a contender anymore.
Although I would argue that LSU still does have a chance to make the playoffs. They still got Alabama coming up on their schedule. If they could win that game, then they're right back into contention.
Will they beat Alabama, though?
Yeah,
I mean, doubt that, but if they do, then...
You're really going to bet against Tua.
That's not a bet I would take.
Yeah, so Notre Dame beat Virginia Tech this weekend. That was really the last hard game they had on their schedule. They have a great resume. Did they just control their own resume now?
Absolutely. They beat Stanford by 3 touchdowns. They went on the road to West Virginia, a very solid team, and destroyed them by more than 3 touchdowns. it was a big win for Notre Dame. Ian Book, excellent quarterback. I say if they win out, they're absolutely going to be in. And even if they lose one, I don't think you can count them out yet.
But is there a chance if they lose one that that loss, if that loss is bad enough, that one loss could take them out of contention?
I mean, we saw that with Ohio State last year. Exactly. That Iowa loss just completely killed their hopes. As for me, I really just think they're a lock, but watch out for that USC game. I think that will be a big game, and I think they could lose that.
I mean, for them, every game until the playoffs is just a trap game for them.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Notre Dame has historically done bad against inferior competition. And I'm looking at the last three games of their schedule. Florida State, that's not an easy game. Syracuse, they're 4-2, almost upset Clemson. And USC, that's obviously going
to
be a tough
game.
That's a rivalry game. But if Notre Dame wins out, they are, in my opinion, a lock to make the playoffs.
And, I mean, speaking of playoffs and just general winning, our Heisman predictions. Jade, if you want to begin.
This is a little controversial, but I really think Dwayne Haskins is clearly the front runner to win right now.
I mean, you can make that point, but I think clearly is a little
It's not even obvious. He's third in the nation in passing yards. He's first in touchdowns. He had to deal with the Urban Meyer controversy for the first 3 weeks of the season. He didn't have a star-studded coach with him for the first 3 weeks. He also went into the hostile Penn State and won. Do you know how hard that is? I mean, I just don't see why anyone can argue against him.
He didn't have an amazing game versus Penn State.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, he kind of did come back in the fourth quarter and lead them to victory.
He stepped up.
Barely had 50% completion. Threw a pick. Only 3 TDs.
Only 3 TDs. That is a solid amount.
I mean, yeah, when you look at it compared to the fact that he's throwing like 4, 5, 6 every other game, but like, look at what Tua's doing.
Has Tua gone into a hostile territory.
Is Tua leading the number one team
in the nation? Absolutely. And he's completed 75.2% of the passes.
They haven't faced tough enough competition. He hasn't had that trademark Heisman game that you need out of the Heisman.
And what's Haskins' Heisman game? Penn State?
Yeah, it is Penn State.
Well, he struggled in the first three quarters of that game.
Baker also played bad against Ohio State, and he won the Heisman
The Heisman moment for him wasn't the game versus Ohio State. It was the flag. That was the Heisman moment right there.
Okay.
I got Tua as Heisman, you know. He's averages 19.7 yards per completion, 20 touchdowns, not a single pick. That's just incredible.
So just how many fourth quarters?
I just want to know the exact number, man.
Can you give me like a rough estimate of how many fourth quarters he's played?
I believe it's is it zero?
I believe so.
I don't think
he's played the fourth quarter, but like if he keeps racking up those numbers, there's no way you can not give him the Heisman
But if you think about it, like he hasn't played a single fourth quarter. Yeah. He's done all that in three quarters per game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So I will get on the Tua train once he plays LSU. Does that sound good to
you
guys?
That's fair. Once he plays a real team.
Let's talk college football playoff predictions now.
I think we can all say Alabama is in. Yep.
Notre Dame is in.
They're in if they win out.
If they beat USC, that's the only game I'm considering that they might lose. Uh-huh.
I do think Notre Dame will win out and go in. And
I don't think Ohio State's going to make it.
I don't think they're going to win out either.
Ohio State?
Yeah.
This is not a biased pick. I think they could, in theory, lose to Wisconsin. In the Big Ten, they could lose to Wisconsin right there.
Hornibrook would have to play the game of his life.
Hornibrook, if he is the good side of Hornibrook, Wisconsin wins. If Hornibrook is the normal side of Hornibrook, Ohio State could make it. I still think I'm going to have Georgia in over them.
I think 3 and 4 is where we like really disagree. Yeah. I've got Ohio State and Clemson. I just want to know what you guys got. Clemson.
Yeah, I got Clemson and Georgia.
Clemson and Georgia, yeah, same. Okay, so now we're going to move on to our picks for this week. We're going to start off with College Game Day, Wisconsin at Michigan.
I got Michigan. You know, it's a home game. Michigan is a tough place to play. Hornibrook sucks. Sorry.
Okay, sometime. Most times he sucks.
Hornibrook is very bad. I mean, Shea Patterson has really found his rhythm, and I love Harbaugh. So Michigan wins in a close one.
I think not only will Michigan win, but it's not going to be close.
Oh, I think if Hornibrook – this is a gigantic if. If Hornibrook does not do anything to completely destroy Wisconsin's chances, and they just feed Jonathan Taylor all day, I think Wisconsin has a chance to win. Then we got Washington in Oregon. I'm going Washington here.
I would agree, Washington as well.
I'm actually going Oregon. You know, they.
Wow.
I thought they looked.
That's an upset.
They looked very good against Stanford. I really think that Oregon has a great shot to win. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Justin Herbert is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in college football. I really think he's going to go off.
I think it depends on what uniforms Oregon is wearing.
Oregon has Herbert, but they're not really talented on elsewhere, you know? I mean, not only does Washington have Jake Browning, who is, in my opinion, a very solid quarterback, they also got a really good running back, Miles Gaskin, a really nice defense. I think that's a win for Washington.
All right, and now finally, we've got the game of the week, the big time. Some good SEC in the trenches
Smash
football.
Smash mouth football, baby.
Yeah.
The football that we don't get here on the West Coast. Georgia at LSU. Who you guys got?
Georgia.
Georgia. I mean, I'm sorry, LSU.
That is going to wrap up our college section. So to kick off our NFL talk, we're going to start off with the question that everyone is asking. Are the Chiefs for real?
I look at it this way. Historically, the Chiefs have fallen apart, right? But Andy Reid has done a great job of taking this, hence like backyard football quarterback,
yeah.
And he's making great decisions. He's very efficient. He knows when to use his legs, and he knows when to air it out. And look, you have Tyreek Hill, Watkins, Kelsey. You know, the weapons are there. So we really have to see. You know, I think it actually relies on the defense more than the offense.
Yeah, and the defense improved. They held Jacksonville to 13 points
last
week.
They were also playing Blake Bortles.
Yeah. Did you remember that Blake Bortles is on the Jacksonville?
Blake Bortles?
And also, let's remember the Steelers. There was a shootout game, you know? Look, if this defense can be average, I think they can be great. But we have to see what happens this week against the Patriots.
Yeah,
it's really hard to see the Patriots losing this game at home on Sunday Night Football. This is just one of these Tom Brady games where you feel like he could just go off.
Right.
I don't think I'd be exaggerating to say there's never been a quarterback quite like Mahomes ever.
Oh
no, there has been.
No, I saw a great comparison. Someone's called him the Steph Curry of football.
Yeah,
I
he's
feel like
revolutionary.
That's so fitting.
The Brett Favre arm, but the legs of RG3.
I just saw that tweet randomly, and I love that.
That's very good.
But you know what? All we can do right now is speculate, but we have to see. This week is a great test for this team, and honestly, that's all we can say for now. We don't know.
Okay, so who do we think, if we're not considering Patrick Mahomes a rookie, which I mean, like, he's kind of a rookie, who from this year is going to be the best rookie?
Darnold. Easy money. He's clearly the best quarterback. You know, he's got the attitude. He just carries himself the way I want an NFL quarterback to. He leads all rookie quarterbacks in passing yards and in touchdowns. He's still learning, he's shown the most potential.
I would disagree with that. I think Josh Allen has shown an insane amount of potential. I mean, look at that hurdle over Barr. If he can do that consistently.
Are you serious? One rushing play.
Okay, but that whole game, he was dominant against a Vikings defense on the road.
Matthew, do you just want to prepare his gold jacket right now? You obviously think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Look, I agree that Josh Allen has shown a ton of potential.
And
but his accuracy needs a lot of work. His footwork needs a lot of work.
His best completion of the year came against the Chargers on a very underthrown ball. That was, like, his best throw of the year.
Okay, but Josh Allen, the Bills, they don't have a talented offensive line. They don't have talented receivers.
Or a talented quarterback.
That's why they're getting constantly dominated.
But here's my point. When Josh Allen has started, they've gone 2-2. One win being at Minnesota.
I think that Baker Mayfield is going to be the best rookie QB from this year. I mean, just... He's short. He's going to be
He has that poise. He won the game against the Jets. He came in.
Should've won the game against the Raiders.
Exactly. That was a gimmick. They called Carlos Hyde short, even though he's clearly across.
I believe he had two turnovers, right? Do you have two turnovers?
He still should. That was
he
a
should
game.
Be 3-0 right now.
He should
we
be 3-0.
Can't, we cannot argue. Baker Mayfield should be 3-0. Look, he's won two games. He might have some turnovers, but he knows how to manage the game, and that's key. We're just going to
move on here.
We're just going to talk about Drew Brees, right? Crazy night last night.
Drew Brees has officially broken the record. He is now the number one passing QB all-time
yards-wise and
completions-wise.
As a football fan, just seeing one of those moments really just puts things in perspective, like how crazy it is to really view that record being broken. Like, we don't know if that record
18 years
ever,
of greatness, really.
We don't know.
Can I just say that it could not have happened to a better person? Brees is an absolute class act. He's a great father.
He deserves all the success he has.
Walter
Payton Man of the Year previously, I believe. And now we're just going to go right into the awards, we believe, so far. So the MVP, I think we all agree that it would be Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
At least he'd
at
be the main
point,
candidate.
Absolutely.
You just can't argue with it.
Leads the NFL in touchdowns, top five in passer rating, and big wins against the Jaguars, Steelers, and Chargers. I could argue there's not a better resume right now.
Yeah, obviously things can change, but at this point, he's surefire.
Let's talk Rookie of the Year. Who do you guys got?
I don't think you can go away from Barkley. He's one of three players all time to have 100-plus scrimmage yards in the first five games. Look, You've seen it on display. This Giants offensive line, we know what it is. He is literally
is what it is.
Yeah, he is literally making holes himself just with his moves.
Yeah.
And look, you can say all you want, but he has shown that he's a Hall of Fame talent for sure.
Well, it's
Hall
only been
fame
five.
Talent
you
is
can't say
very,
someone's been
very
a Hall of Fame.
One year after.
It's been five weeks.
No, I know, but I'm just saying a lot of analysts and a lot of people around the league agree Saquon Barkley has highest potential out of anyone in this draft class to have a gold jacket on in down the road.
Defensive Rookie of the Year. I'm going with Derwin James. He's the first rookie with a sack or a pick in each of his team's first four games. He leads all defensive backs in sacks for a rookie, and he's a safety.
I think he's a crossbreed. He's kind of like that Deion Buchanan, where he's like a safety, but he's like he'll get in the box and get
Deion
dirty.
Buchanan. He has,
but anyways,
he's 30 tackles, which is great for a safety.
But yeah, and now we're just gonna go to the Coach of the Year, and we'll go with you, J-Dev.
I think this is pretty obvious, guys, so far. Matt Nagy for Coach of the Year. I mean, he just turned the Bears team around. They were a loser team.
Do you know who else turned the Bears around? The best defensive player in the league.
Khalil Mack,
for sure. You're really telling me that
one defensive player
turned around
Jadav. This guy's had like 5 sacks and 5 forced fumbles in the first like 5 games. It's literally ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can argue either way for Matt Nagy, but look. I think it has to be Andy Reid.
What
he's done with the backyard quarterback in what Patrick Mahomes was coming out of college, he's developed him so well.
I think that Andy Reid has done a great job, but I feel like the thing is, every year, with the first, 4 or 5 weeks of the season, it's always, Andy Reid's going to be a great Coach of the Year candidate.
I believe they said Coach of the Year last year was going to be Andy Reid. People predicted it.
Yeah. Right after their great start. And then I believe they went from 5-0 to 5-5.
Andy Reid, you have to wait until he does something stupid, because he's possibly the worst time managing coach that has been successful that we've seen so far.
Well, my counterpoint to that is he hasn't made that crazy Andy Reid moment yet. So we can't say he's not the favorite at this point based on what he's done so far.
Moving on, we're gonna go to our picking of the week, and we're gonna start off with one of the best game of the season so far, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
No question.
No
sure.
question.
Chiefs at Patriots. We got a 58.5 over-under. That is insane.
I don't know whether
that says more about how good these offensives are or how awful these defenses are.
How good their offense is.
Okay, I would take the Patriots on the spread. I just think they're going to win the game, and I don't think it's going to be decided by a field goal. I think this could be a shootout. This could be like the Patriots-Texans game from a year ago where you see Brady on with a nice little game-winning drive. But we know that Patty Mahomes is going to come out with his best. It's Sunday Night Football. This is a prove it game. Look, we understand he's had a great start to the season, but this is a prove it game. If you're going to tell the league, I'm a force to be reckoned with, I'm the future of this Chiefs team, you want to win in Foxborough. That's the staple.
Yeah.
That is the staple.
However, I think we are talking a lot about if Patrick Mahomes wins in Foxborough, he's going to this is for real. If he loses in Foxborough, how much does that affect how we think of him?
Well, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. This is Bill Belichick. You know,
arguably the greatest coach of all time.
He out-schemes, a bunch of young quarterbacks. But we know Patrick Mahomes' potential. You know, Belichick said this the other day. Mahomes can throw it out of the stadium. He's not lying. I mean, it's a tough task.
And then we're going to move on to Steelers at Bengals here. What is the AFC North at this point?
It's pretty crazy.
I'm just confused.
It's the definition of football. It just shows the parody.
And player to watch, by the way, Vontaze Burfict, coming back from his suspension against the Steelers.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Smith-Schuster gets a little knock-knock in the head. But, you know.
How great would it be if Vontaze comes back and just immediately, first play, gets suspended again? Literally the first thing he does.
If he tears Juju's ACL, I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. I got the Steelers.
I have the Bengals -2.5. Look, they have a history of choking, but this is a do-or-die year for Marvin Lewis. It's been enough with this are we good, are we not. Andy Dalton's been great this season. Joe Mixon came back from his surgery last week and scored a touchdown. He's looking great. AJ Green's having a great season.
None of this matters. Until they win in the playoffs.
Exactly.
None of this has any bearing. Because if they miss the playoffs or if they make them, honestly, does not matter for this team. Because most likely, if they make playoffs, they're going out first round unless Marvin Lewis does something crazy. I am taking the Steelers here. I think going in that Atlanta game last week, that the Steelers are back. In my
they
opinion.
Look dominant.
They looked look, so look, good, and they again.
I think
James Conner.
I think this is my take on the game. I believe that the Bengals can win this game, but it runs through their defense. It's about this run defense. If James Conner gets shut out, we don't know what will happen this game. And now we're gonna go to what I think will be the most entertaining game of the week: Chargers Browns.
This is gonna be a close game, and
in
I'm
which the
saying,
Browns win.
If the Browns,
you know
win,
what? I think the Browns will win.
What happened the last time they went to Cleveland? They gave them the only win of their season. Exactly. We got Buddy Boy Baker Mayfield, the chosen one. And guess what? I think he could win this game big.
I got the
Chargers.
Chargers
have made a long history playing down to their competition. And I think if they do that, yeah, they'll lose. However, this Chargers team, I love saying this about the Chargers always. On paper, this is a incredibly talented team. But you know what? That's all the time that
I'll
we
believe
have
it when I see it.
For this I'm going to show you. That is all of the time that we have for this episode. And thank you all so much for listening to our show. Thanks so much for Dan Duggan for joining us. We really appreciate you coming on to talk to us. Tune in next week to the 3 and Out podcast. And on behalf of Jade, Matthew, and Alex, thank you all for listening.
Peace.